I'm our Joe Bud Market Street. This is TabilePod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our studios of the day in San Francisco's excellent Main Branch Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 9th of January, 2014. We missed last week for the first time in decades. Sorry about that. Happy New Year, Happy Christmas, Merry Georgian Christmas, and everything else. On this date in 1493, Columbus mistakes manatees for mermaids, saying they're not really as beautiful as reported. In 1776, Tom Paine publishes Common Sense. 1839, the French Academy of Sciences announces the daguerreotype photography process. 1918, the last time U.S. troops fight hostile American Indians at the Battle of Bear Valley in Arizona, a skirmish with Yaqui Indians. 1924, Virginia Woolf buys a house in Bloomsbury. 1965, the James Bond movie Goldfinger premieres with its Aston Martin DB6. 1996, Chechen separatists launch a raid against the helicopter airfield and later a civilian hospital in the city of Kizlyar in neighboring Dagestan, which turns into a massive hostage crisis involving thousands of civilians. 2005, the Sudan People's Liberation Movement and the government of Sudan signed a comprehensive peace agreement to end the Second Sudanese Civil War. Trouble in South Sudan these days. 2007, Apple CEO Steve Jobs unveils the first iPhone. Birthdays today are director Sergio Parajanov, author Simone de Beauvoir, singer Joan Baez, actor Lee Van Cleef, who was the bad in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Bob Denver, who was Gilligan, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, musician Dave Matthews, Princess Kate Middleton, and most importantly, Richard Nixon would turn 100 years old today. This from the Nixon Center website. The Nixon Center's president, Dimitri Symes, describes posthumous and ultimately unheeded advice given to Georgia's former president by Richard Nixon. Quote, "Several years ago at a Nixon Center dinner in Mr. Saakashvili's honor, I asked the Georgian president what he thought about a conversation years before in 1991 between former President Richard Nixon and Georgia's first president, Zviad Gamzahurdia. Mr. Nixon had gone to Tbilisi despite the strong displeasure of the then Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev to support Georgia's independence from the USSR. But Mr. Nixon was alarmed when Mr. Gamzahurdia told him that not only was the Soviet Union dissolving, but Russia itself was weak, and it could be the right moment to deliver a devastating blow. Mr. President," said Richard Nixon, quote, "there are two kinds of people in Washington you're going to encounter, those who will tell you what you want to hear and those who will tell you what you need to hear. And what you need to hear is that no matter what your friends and admirers in the United States may tell you, America is not going to go to war with Russia because of Georgia." End quote by Nixon. Mr. Saakashvili, while visibly unhappy with this question, answered that he was no Gamzahurdia, that he knew in which neighborhood Georgia was located, and that he understood the importance of having normal relations with Russia. For a very funny story about Nixon and Gamzahurdia, be sure to talk to political perennial Kako Asatiani. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting to our forum. This from a listener, Mankato, where several Dakota Indians were hung during the Civil War, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, is pronounced Mankato. I had pronounced it Mankato. It's Mankato. Thank you for letting us know. And some of the usual droll stuff from the usual pseudonymous posters. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to tabilpod.com or send us an email at tabilpod@gmail.com. On the 7th of January, the Georgian Orthodox Church celebrated Christmas. Ilya II delivered a service at Samipa Cathedral on Christmas Eve. The Prime Minister, his family, and many government members attended. Senior member of the clergy read Ilya's address. He spoke about children who were born to surrogate mothers. He thinks these children are resigned to live a loveless life. He writes, quote, "Can a family where a child is born to a surrogate mother be happy? Even if he grows up in prosperity, nothing will change the difficult period of being in the womb, and this will be revealed in adulthood." End quote. The epistle continues that in vitro fertilization will lead children to be, quote, problematic. He said, quote, Their life developed as a result of destroying a number of embryos. I want to underline that spouses who do not have their own child shouldn't perceive this as a tragedy. Their co-living must be a preparation for creating a sanctuary together, end quote. The patriarch believes that adopting a child is desirable. Ilya also spoke about homosexuality and noted that, quote, it is extremely distressing that minority groups distinguished for their negative ideas, which are clearly unacceptable to Christianity, are acknowledged as representatives of humanism. They enjoy privileges, promotion, media coverage, protection by various non-governmental organizations, whereas those who oppose these processes, especially the church, are being discredited, while the family becomes the main object of attack. The main expression of the crisis is the threat of equalizing relations of sexual minorities with the marriage between women and men and granting the right to same-sex couples to adopt children. Such a law perverts the entire idea of marriage and, in fact, turns a child into an object that can be possessed by anyone. The Georgian Church welcomes the European Union's position that the legalization of same-sex marriage is not a precondition for Georgia's becoming a fully-fledged member of the European Union, end quote. Yes, because, you know, the Georgian Orthodox Church has it so rough in Georgia right now, and being gay in Georgia is just like the easiest thing in the world with all sorts of advantages. The epistle continues by praising a family where, as he put it, a man is guardian and breadwinner, and a woman is responsible for housekeeping and raising children. Ilya said, quote, and even if it may seem impossible, a woman should obey her husband based on God's commandments, end quote. After the service, Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili commented on the speech and said that it was interesting, very deep, and full of essence. Quote, I would highlight one portion. The patriarch declared that we must live in a way that will leave something valuable, end quote. Health Minister Dato Sergenenko positively appraised the patriarch's statements. Yikes. He added that the number of abortions is problematic for Georgia, as are sex-selective abortions. Georgia, for those who don't know, has one of the highest abortion rates in the world, like many other post-Soviet countries. According to him, the ministry created a special group that is actively working on this issue. On Christmas Day, hundreds of participants took part in Alilo, the march from Rose Revolution Square, formerly Republic Square, to Someva Cathedral. Tamar Khachapuridze, an NGO representative, brought a poster to Alilo, which read, quote, a child conceived in a tube is also a child. Don't deprive the right to become a parent, end quote. Participants yelled at her and said she doesn't have the right to participate in Alilo as such a poster because it is a holy day. Khachapuridze yelled back. Finally, the police came to calm down the situation, this deeply Christian situation that was happening. Khachapuridze said that people were aggressive towards her and did not allow her to participate. Later, National Movement member Zura Japaridze published a statement directed to Ilya in which he wrote that the fact that scientific progress has made it possible to solve the infertility problem in the modern world is God's will and the church should not reject it. Public defender Ucha Nanawashvili responded to the patriarch's epistle and said families who are preparing or already have a child born this way must be taken into account. He called for a more careful approach while talking about such issues, especially when it concerns children. According to Georgia's Reproduction Federation, since 2000, there have been 3,000 in vitro children born in Georgia. There are 8 clinics that offer the service and lots of surrogates. Georgi Kavkasidze, a Georgian scientist working in Switzerland, wrote that 25 years ago, he and Sir Robert Jeffrey Edwards, an English physiologist working in reproductive medicine and in vitro fertilization, met with Ilya II to discuss the issue. Edwards explained to the patriarch the methods and essence of the process, and Kavkasidze translated. At the end, the professor asked for the patriarch's opinion, who said he liked Edwards' achievements. Quote, if your method will help married couples to solve the problem of infertility, I bless you, end quote. On the 8th of January, there were 2 rallies in front of the patriarchate. Patriarchs at one rally came to protest against the epistle, while participants of the second rally came to support the patriarch. One poster read, quote, I don't want hatred to be financed by the people, end quote. Each year, the government increases the financing for the church. This year, that number will be 25 million lari. Another one said, Ilya II or God? Participants of the counter rally tore up some of the posters and got into physical scuffles. Police formed a line and tried to defuse the situation by separating them. Yurgi Gavidava, known for organizing rallies against LGBT activists and a well-known annoying loudmouth, was also there. He tore up anti-epistle posters and shouted. He and several other people from the counter rally claimed they recognized LGBT people among those who were protesting. They swore at them, calling them homosexuals. Four people were detained. At the end of the rally, the patriarch issued a short statement saying he does not want to be associated with the counter rally and called on everyone to be peaceful and avoid violence. A bit earlier, the patriarch issued another statement explaining the church's position. It said every traditional religion is against in vitro fertilization, not true, and considers it a sin, and the patriarchate is obliged to warn the parish and people about it. Wow. On the 30th of December, a week after the suspended mayor of Tbilisi, Gigi Ugulava, accused Chief Prosecutor Otar Parchkoladze of serving a prison term in Germany for robbery, Parchkoladze stepped down. In his written statement, Parchkoladze said that because of questions about his biography, he felt obligated to take into consideration public opinion and leave the post. After Parchkoladze's announcement, Prime Minister Irakli Garabashvili said that it was a dignified step and the correct decision. After Parchkoladze said, look, it's really not a big deal, and everybody else said it's really not a big deal, and then everybody thought it was a big deal, and then they said, okay, because I'm such a great guy, I'm going to resign, but all right. On the 4th of January, the government held the first of what is to be a weekly consultation with its coalition members of parliament. Georgian Dream MP Dato Saganalidze said that the aim of the weekly Saturday meeting is for the legislature and the executive to coordinate issues. At the most recent meeting, they discussed the local government reform and election code. The meeting was 3 hours long. Garabashvili Defense Minister Irakli Alasania and Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze attended. This is not such a bad thing. Let's see how it goes. Lack of coordination between the executive and parliament, the majority, has been a real problem. Of course, on the other hand, there was a lot of orders given during the UNM period, and Parliament, frankly, was not much of a deliberative body. They would more or less do whatever they were told, in my view. So let's hope that doesn't happen. The independence that majority MPs have shown in the past is not necessarily such a good thing. They tend to, the topics that they're hitting are not necessarily ones that should be hit. Georgian Dream-controlled Tbilisi Sacrobulo voted down the UNM-controlled Tbilisi City Hall's draft of the 2014 budget for the city. After several hours of heated debates, the vote was 18-21 with 3 abstentions. Some claim the draft was not sufficiently transparent and its spending priorities were tailored to UNM's political needs. According to law, if the Sacrobulo fails to confirm the 2014 budget by the 11th of March, the president has the right to dissolve the Sacrobulo. On the 27th of December, Prime Minister Garabashvili gave an interview with Pozizia on Rustavioti. When asked whether or not VI gives advice to the new government, Garabashvili responded that the former MP is, quote, a very dear and exemplary person, and that any government would be honored to receive Bidzina's advice. Garabashvili also stated that there are many important novelties in the Zurishvanya case. According to the Declaration of Property published by the Public Service Bureau, Garabashvili owns 3 flats, 1 garage, and 2 non-residential properties. He also has a Mercedes-Benz and 10,000 lari in cash. He has several accounts in Kartu Bank and 26,000 lari in one of those accounts. He receives 15,000 lari payment for being chairman of the Kartu Group from the 31st of January till the 31st of December last year. He received 131,000 lari for being director of the Georgian Dream Limited and 7,000 lari for being interior minister. Prime Minister's Office Public Relations Department will have a new staffer. Mako Bigvava will replace Koka Kandiashvili as head of the Public Integration Communication Department. Bigvava is the daughter of the PR consultant Zura Bigvava. She worked as PR advisor to Nino Borjanadze. Kandiashvili will assume the post of chief PR consultant. The leader of South Ossetia, Leonid Tibilov, signed a pardon for a former Georgian official, Temur Jerepov, who has been in prison since April 2010. Jerepov, an ethnic Ossetian, was a former member of the Tbilisi-based South Ossetian Provisional Administration, an entity set up by the Georgian authorities in 2006. Jeropov was arrested in April 2010. A court in Tskhinvali found him guilty of forcefully seizing power and sentenced him to 13 years in jail. Similar situation with an Ossetian prisoner in Georgia was solved by the June 2013 amnesty when he was released. Georgia released 87 prisoners in connection with New Year's Day. The ministry's pardon commission decided to release four women and 83 are men. In 2013, the commission released a total of 1,500 prisoners. Minister of Economy Georgi Kvitikashvili said that the former government's plan to build an airport in Poti has been canceled. He said that the project was wholly unfeasible because the location selected for it is a wetland. Kvitikashvili further explained that the government plans to construct an airport near Anaklia, and it's not necessary to have two airports in the same area. Russia simplified its visa rules for Georgian transit traffic. Georgian drivers of transit vehicles will get a one-year multi-entry visa without preliminary registration. If a driver wants to get a visa in 3 days, the price is $310. The fee for a visa through the normal procedure, which takes 10 days, is $160. Following up on the story about the Tbilisi mayor, Gigi Gulava said that he will pay off the 50,000 lari bail with an in-kind contribution, his mother-in-law's flat. As a reminder, Ugulava's mayorship was suspended by the Tbilisi City Court. The mayor is charged with embezzling Tbilisi City Hall money and using it to finance the 2012 UNM election campaign. The Gam Gabelli of Old Tbilisi, who has to pay 400,000 lari bail, said that he will go to jail if he isn't able to find the money. On the 28th of December, UNM supporters marched towards the State Chancellery building from Rustaveli Avenue in protest against the prosecution of former Prime Minister Vano Merabashvili and Mayor Ugulava. The protesters held up signs reading, "Restore the elected mayor's authority." The EU ambassador, Philip Dimitrov, and Alexei Petriashvili, the integration minister, signed a financing agreement totaling 27 million euros for poverty reduction and sustainable socioeconomic development in Georgia. 20 million will be directed to the state budget, and 7 million euros will be used for the implementation of technical assistance projects and grants. President Georgi Margvelashvili commented on the National Security Council head purchasing a mobile phone and a computer bag together with an expensive car. It has been much discussed in the media and Facebook. He said that it would be good for journalists to check this issue out in detail and make the correct conclusions. He added that purchasing a computer bag is not a luxury. Gio Kikvadze, managing director of the Ukrainian agribusiness Terra Food, who's lived in Ukraine for the past 5 years, announced on Facebook that he will move back to Georgia along with his Ukrainian-born son and wife. He decided this after Ukrainian authorities refused to allow him to enter the country on the 21st of December. He's registering from the Terra Foods and will become the managing director of GCF Private Equity Fund, a newly created private vehicle with access to $6 billion for drawing investments into Georgia. Prior to joining Terra Foods in March, Kikvadze worked as a chief investment officer at Ukrland Farming PLC, which belongs to Ukrland Farming, brilliant name there, PLC, which belongs to billionaire Oleg Bakhmatyuk, the nation's largest egg producer. Prior to that, Kikvadze was chief executive officer of York Capital Management, CIS Operations, a leading global alternative assets manager. On the 31st of December, a Stalin statue was taken down in Tel Aviv 4 months after it was erected. The local Stalin Society put the statue up on the 1st of September in the World War II memorial overlooking Tel Aviv. Shortly afterwards, the local authorities said that it was not legally erected and they ordered the Stalin Society to take it down. After the group did not comply, the local administration announced a public tender to remove it. The Foundation for Civic Education, a co-founder of the Tbilisi-based Tabula Media outlet, won the tender and took the statue down. They were the only bidder. The Education Ministry plans to reform the Institute of School Security Officers, or Resource Officers, called Mandaturi. The officers will now be called Children's Protection Officers. They'll also be responsible for mediation and psychological assistance at schools. The mandatory minimum age of officers will increase from 20 to 23. For those who don't know, this was something that was set up about 3 years ago, and Dima Shashkin was the minister all of these mandatories, they were put in every school and were trained at the police academy. They're all quite young. They were paid more than school directors or anybody else, and they were essentially the ministry's representative in all the schools and could look through the accounts and, you know, do whatever they were told. There were some cases of them replacing school directors, but it was just an enforcement mechanism for the ministry to get done what needed to be done. And lots of worries that they had influence in electoral administration as well, since almost all the electoral polling stations were schools. On the 26th of December, the TV company TV3 aired a special statement that representatives of the former government, including Gigi Ugulava, threatened the station. They requested assistance from law enforcement entities. The prosecutor's office released a statement expressing their readiness to conduct a thorough investigation. The day after Western Christmas, the 26th of December, the government allocated 1.5 million lari to the public broadcaster from its reserve funds. For those who don't know, the public broadcaster and its funding situation is a complete mess. Reportedly, the public broadcaster has financing difficulties and has been unable to pay its employees their salary for December. Here's what's happening. The public broadcaster spent about 1.1 million lari a month on salaries and 2 million lari on expenses. The 2013 budget of the GPB was approximately 32 million lari. At the beginning of the year, the GPB used 9 million lari to pay off debts. In September, they ran out of funding to finish the year. On the 31st of December, the official webpage of Parliament was hacked. When entering parliament.ge, you could see in English, "We love Iran. We are not enemy of any people, even American people. Please patch your web security because your security is too low." Good warning. Thank you very much. According to Geostat, Georgia's annual inflation was 2.4% in December, making it the highest rate since October 2011. The government's 2014 end-of-the-year forecast for annualized inflation is 3.5%. The National Bank of Georgia, this is cool, listen to this, all right, everybody listening? The National Bank of Georgia announced a contest for a currency symbol. Those willing to participate must submit applications to the National Bank of Georgia by the 27th of January, 2014. The applications should be submitted according to the rules of the contest available at the webpage of the National Bank of Georgia. For further information, contact 2406406 or Lari, L-A-R-I, at nbg.ge. I am really happy about this. The use of GEL, G-E-L, and the fact that people even sometimes use the English acronym in speech and say 42 GEL or something like that for lari drives me crazy and is stupid. So this is much needed. That number, again, is 2406406. Everybody forward on this information to any graphically inclined people that you know. Following up on the remains of Queen Ketevan, which were uncovered in St. Augustine's Church in Goa, southwest India, in late December, India demands $1 million in exchange for the holy remains. As a reminder, in the year 1613, the Emperor of Persia, Shahabas I, led an army to conquer the Georgian kingdom, and Queen Ketevan became his prisoner. The queen was held in Shiraz, southern Iran, for approximately 10 years, but in 1624, the emperor sent soldiers to convert her to Islam and to force her into his harem. However, she resisted his orders and as a consequence was tortured and strangled to death in September 1624. Since 1989, various delegations from Georgia worked together with the Archaeological Survey of India to locate Ketevan, the martyr, within the Augustinian church, which they have done. On the 1st of January, a group of unknown assailants attacked a gathering of Jehovah's Witnesses in Ozurgeti. According to the local media, the assailants broke the windows of a car the Jehovah's Witnesses were sitting in and threw stones at the building where they were meeting. Fortunately, no one was injured. The Gudia Regional Police launched an investigation into the case. The board of directors of the French Bureau of Refugees added Georgia, Albania, and Kosovo to the list of secure countries. Countries in this category are regarded as safe since they ensure freedom, democracy, and the rule of law, and protection of human rights. Additionally, citizens of these countries who seek asylum in France must now submit an application and wait for approval before arriving in the country. Prior to this, it was possible to arrive and then declare oneself an asylum seeker. Rough Guides, a travel guidebook owned by Penguin Random House, listed Georgia as number 5 among the world's top countries for tourism. The publication selected the best tourist countries for 2014, and Ethiopia is number 1 on the list, followed by Madagascar, Brazil, Turkey, Georgia, Rwanda, Japan, Bulgaria, Macedonia, and the Philippines. The guidebook says, quote, Georgia is currently untouched by mass tourism, but things are changing. So go now to enjoy the unspoiled hiking in the Caucasus Mountains, the historic taverns of Tbilisi, the Black Sea Resort of Batumi, and the gorgeous old towns of Sfaneti and Kazbegi. On the 6th of January, the Interior Ministry released official statistics on tourism visits to Georgia. According to the data, the number increased by 21% year-on-year in 2013 to a total of 5 million. Turkish citizens led the pack with 1.6 million entries, followed by Armenian citizens with 1.3 million and Azerbaijani citizens 1 million. These statistics, compiled by the Interior Ministry, are based on border crossing data. There was a 12% year-on-year decline in the number of visits to Georgia by Iranian citizens in 2013. Visa-free rules for the Iranian citizen was enforced from January 2011, leading to an increase in the number of visits to Georgia by Iranian citizens from about 21,000 in 2010 to slightly over 60,000 in 2011 and 90,000 in 2012. Season opening in Gudauri was postponed for a third time because of lack of snow. Director of Gudauri Development Agency said that the season will begin officially on the 13th of January. 5 Georgians died of alcohol poisoning in the suburbs of Istanbul, Turkey. According to Georgian Foreign Affairs Ministry, they died after drinking homemade alcohol. 2 more Georgians are in the hospital. They were construction workers. They had prepared the alcohol to mark New Year's. On the 4th of January, Ilya II celebrated his 81st birthday. The president, MPs, and ministers, as well as others, congratulated him. He awarded the St. George's Gold Order to the composer Gia Cancelli for developing Georgian music internationally, director Temochedze for developing Georgian culture, and the poet Besik Kurnauli for his role in Georgian poetry. On the 29th of December, the Tbilisi City Assembly named Vake Sabortalo Highway after the writer Chabua Amida Jibi. As a reminder, he died several weeks ago at the age of 92. Amida Jibi became well-known in the former Soviet Union for his novel Data Tutashkia, a great book if you haven't read it, well-translated. He was buried in the Tatsminda Pantheon of Public Figures halfway up to the amusement park up there. Etibar Elchiev, dubbed the Magnet Man, managed to secure 53 metal spoons around his neck and chest to set the world record for the most spoons balanced on a human body. Elchiev, who lives in Tbilisi, broke the spoon record he created in 2011. Parliament approved a 58-member state commission chaired by Parliamentary Speaker Datu Usupashvili to review constitutional amendments before the 1st of September 2014. Decisions will be made by a two-thirds majority rule. The commission includes 21 members of Parliament, of which 13 are from Georgian Dream, 6 are from UNM, and 2 are independent MPs. The commission also includes senior officials from the judiciary and the executive government, as well as legal experts and representatives from 8 NGOs. This is a very important group and a good way to do this. Let's hope journalists cover what they're doing well. Parliament confirmed only 3 new members of the Georgian Public Broadcasters Board of Trustees, leaving 6 seats on the board vacant. Parliament should have elected at least 7 members in order to replace the current board. The total of 68 people submitted applications to the board. 35 were shortlisted and interviewed by a selection commission. The process was aired live on the public broadcaster's second channel. They selected 24 candidates, 3 contenders for each seat as envisioned by law. Of those 27 candidates, Georgian Dream and UNM were entitled to pick up to 3. Georgian Dream picked out only 1 candidate, Natella Sakhokia, of the Tbilisi-based think tank Strategic Research Center, and UNM picked only 2, Ketevan Mishkhalidze, an editor of Tabula, and the editor of the English edition of Tabula, Nina Kakabadze. Nina Kakwadze, who is a film and media critic. According to the law, public defender Uchenano Ashvili was eligible to choose two candidates. He picked Leila Gaprindashvili, a former philosophy and gender specialist at Tbilisi State University, and Marina Muskhalishvili, a director of the Tbilisi-based think tank Center for American Studies. The legislative body of Ajada nominated one candidate, Geno Geladze, chairman of the Batumi-based NGO Institute of Democracy, because Georgian Dream and UNM failure to select three candidates each. There were only a total of six contenders nominated, meaning even if the parliament had endorsed all six, the board would have already been ineligible to operate because at least seven seats must be filled. Out of those six candidates, the three confirmed were Ketevan Miskaladze, who was picked by UNM, Natela Sakokia, who was picked by the Georgian Dream, and Marina Muskhalishvili, who was named by the public defender. Parliament once again postponed the introduction of a rule that would require witnesses only be questioned in court. The person is now legally obliged to appear before law enforcement agencies and prosecutors if summoned as a witness. If a person summoned by law enforcement authorities as a witness refuses to appear before the investigator, law enforcement agencies can get a court order and bring the individual before them. The practice has long been criticized by human rights groups, who argue that it gives prosecutors the upper hand, creating the possibility for undue pressure on witnesses to produce statements favorable for the prosecution. In May 2012, the previous parliament set December 1, 2013 as the new date for enforcement of the new rule of questioning of witnesses, allowing the process to take place only before court. In January 2013, the sitting parliament moved the date forward to September 2013, but the same parliament in July postponed the date until December 31, 2013. At the time, the government and Georgian Dream ruling majority cited that more time was needed to properly prepare for the new system, including for training law enforcement officers. On December 20th, 11 days before enforcement of the new rule, the government submitted to Parliament a bill offering postponement of the introduction of the rule for 2 years till December 31st, 2015. This is all, of course, quite politically motivated, unfortunately. But anyway, everybody needs to remember that in Georgia, the prosecutors in Misha's time and Shevardnadze's time were the only ones who really ran the court proceedings and conveyed instructions from the political leadership to the judges, which is very convenient for any sitting political leadership. So let's see if the new government can forego the temptation or if they're going to give themselves 2 years. Parliament adopted amendment to the Liberty Charter, which is sort of based originally by Gia Tortladze, was the one who wanted to do it, or the one that they got to do it. It was based on the Patriot Act. It's like, hey, after September 11th, U.S. Congress got so much power for itself in the executive, maybe we should do something like that. But anyway, it morphed into dealing with monuments. Anyway, the Liberty Charter, which its aim was to enforce the 2011 law, banning public displays of symbols of the totalitarian communist regime. According to co-author Georgian Dream MP Levon Berzanashvili, the bill is aimed at preventing the re-erection of future Stalin monuments in the provinces. In May 2011, the parliament adopted the Liberty Charter, which sought to create a state commission under the Interior Ministry in charge of gathering information about symbols, monuments, statues, inscriptions, names on streets, or squares reflecting or containing elements of communist or fascist ideology and propaganda. This commission, however, was never established. The new amendment sets a time frame of 2 months within which the state commission must be established. The commission has the right to issue decisions in case it finds that a symbol violates provisions of this law. Enforcement of the commission's decisions will be legally binding. Failure to comply leads to a warning, and a repeat failure will carry a 1,000 lari fine. I understand the logic of this, but the definition of symbols is complicated. For example, when the UNM secretly and stupidly took the star off the top of Dom Kino, waving around this law, cinema house, just across from Rustaveli Metro, or when the 1980 giant fiberglass head of Lenin that was made for Brezhnev's last visit was sitting in a back lot of a sort of vacant warehouse bothering nobody. And then when somebody got interested in it, they took it and destroyed it. The bigger question is shouldn't this be a local matter? If people in a village or a city like Stalin and want his sculpture up, why not? The problem is not the statue of Stalin. It's that some people want a statue of Stalin. The problem is a lack of discussion, not the physical manifestation of historical confusion. Everybody take note that Radarami, RADARAMI.org, the translator of recent international nonfiction into Georgian, will soon publish Bloodlands, which is a comparison of Hitler and Stalin, in Georgian. Stay tuned. Pilgrims streamed to Mtskheta after it was this is the meme of the week. Streamed to Mtskheta after it was reported that Mother Paraskeva, a spiritual child of Father Gabriel, had a vision of Father Gabriel saying all people visiting his grave in Mtskheta before the Orthodox Christmas on the 7th of January would be granted two wishes. Vehicle access to the town was reported as practically impossible. Police crews on the roads were working to organize traffic. From a video we'll post on the forum, you can see two letters in which people ask for help, selling their flat for a good prize, returning of a son from prison, a good price, returning of a son from prison, and a good fate for their children. Later, Mother Paraskeva denied having the vision and said somebody used the rumor for other goals. Things to read. An article by Nelly Esipova and Julie Ray in Gallup.com about former Soviet countries after the breakup of the USSR. According to the survey, residents of 7 out of 11 former Soviet countries believe that the USSR's collapse harmed their countries more than it benefited them. Only Azerbaijanis, Kazakhstanis, and Turkmens are more likely to see the benefit over harm from the breakup. Georgians are very divided. Adults between the ages of 15 and 44, some of whom were not even born or were very young at the time of the breakup, are nearly three times as likely as those 65 and older to say the collapse benefited the country. In other countries, there are not the general differences that Georgia has. Overall, residents who are more educated are less likely to say that the collapse harmed their country and more likely to say it benefited them. Kyrgyzstan is the exception. Results are based on face-to-face interviews with at least 1,000 adults age 15 and older conducted between June and August 2013. Article by the Russian BBC about security measures in Sochi. According to the article, the closed security zone of Sochi Resort, which is to host the Winter Olympic Games of 2014, will be extended into Abkhazia. Security measures are regulated under the decree issued by the President Vladimir Putin. The same decree includes the creation of closed security zones where only people with official or job missions will be accepted. The borders of the closed zone are specified in the decree. One part of it passes on the Karachi-Circassia border, Karachai-Circassia border and reaches the borders of Abkhazia. BBC is also reporting that the zone will include controlled areas where visitors will have to pass police checkpoints. Over 30,000 officers of Russian police and military troops will be deployed in the security zones. These measures will be enforced until the games are over. Article by Rehan Dimitriev entitled Georgia's Disabled Locked in a Box in the BBC. According to the article, Georgia became the first, one of the first former Soviet republics to abolish state orphanages in favor of foster care. But disabled children continued to be marginalized and faced the prospect of a lifelong isolation from society. According to official statistics, out of 49 orphanages operating in 2005, only three remain. In its recent report, Left Behind, Disability Rights, Disability Rights International accuses the Georgian government of not excluding disabled children from its care reform and turning a blind eye to the parallel system of orphanages run by the Georgian Orthodox Church. The report claims that an unknown number of children are housed within the church system and are vulnerable to abuse. Very interesting report, very much worth reading and an important issue. All those things, the links will be on the forum. This week's geocapital number is $239 million, which is the volume of foreign direct investment in Georgia in the third quarter of 2013. Last year, foreign direct investment in the same quarter of the year amounted to $199 million. FDI in Russia reached $55 billion in the third quarter of 2013, while in Armenia and Azerbaijan, it reached $155 million and $2.2 billion, respectively. This week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 11th of January, The Hobbit at 4:30. On the 11th of January, Tbilisi State Salsa and Bar Restaurant Aqua Pub invites everybody to the New Year Salsa Party with Latin music and a workshop. Entrance is free. Address is 112 Leselidze Street. For those of you whose attention was deflected, that's the 11th of January, the day after tomorrow. If you are in Portland and looking for some great Georgian food, go to Kadgigogo, the Georgian food cart pod. They sell badrijani, lobiani, khingali, khachapuri, and more. Tell your Portland, Oregon friends about it. Go to their info at Kadgi, K-A-R-G-I, Gogo, G-O-G-O, or look them up at Kadgi, G-O-P-D-X, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango X-Ray, Tango Bravo Uniform Kila. Our email address is tbilpod, tbilpod at gmail.com. Post to the forum on our website, which you can find at www.tbilpod.com, and get us something, and we'll be sure to take care of it for you in any way we can. And we will finish with Money by Barrett Strong from West Point, Mississippi. This is the very first hit for Motown in 1960. He said, I was sure we had played this. I personally was sure that we had played this one, but couldn't find it. So maybe I'm playing it again. I don't know. Let me know. Anyway, this goes out to the Tbilisi Sacrobulo to assist in their budget work.